Okay, got it. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Well, we could start with the Pledge Allegiance. I'll stand. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to the Republic
for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible with liberty
and justice for all.
We could do the roll call.
Louise is logging on again. Is she there?
I see that she's on the screen.
Louise, are you there? She's muted, it looks like now. Louise, are you there?
She doesn't have any audio. She just unmuted. She's muted on the phone. I'm looking at the participants and she's muted on the phone.
All right. Well, okay. So it's 6:01 and this today's Tuesday, February 7th, meeting of the Board of Apportionment and Taxation. I'll call the roll. Michael Alberta.
No, he's excused.
Roberto Santos?
Present.
James Blaskowitz?
He's excused.
Okay. Christopher Carloni?
Present.
Jennifer DeRoche?
Present.
Mike Gray?
Present.
Kristen Mancini Wright?
She called and excused, emailed me.
Okay. Holly Rossetti? Bomini Patel?
I saw her on there.
Yeah, I saw her too. Bomini Patel, unmute, please, if you're there. Yeah, all right, well, we'll hold. She's there, but look, just has to acknowledge that she's here at some point. And then Rose Pertoso.
Rose is still in the hospital.
Okay. So there's five present and five absent. So you're set to proceed. You're not taking any action in the past for the budget hearings. It's not necessary to have a quorum to hear the department request. So
anybody from the public would like to speak? Is anybody in the public would like to speak?
Yes, good evening. Karen Chemises, 25 John Street.
Thank you.
Yes, I see you're going to be going over different things, and it would be helpful if the materials would also be online so that I could review them as you're going through them rather than trying to stumble through what you're talking about, or if you can share the screen so at least it's visible.
Yes, most definitely. Thank you.
Just for the record, Mr. Chair, the information that is going to be discussed tonight, the Public Works, was emailed to all members and posted to the website today, this evening, when it was received. So,
thank you, Mark.
Do we have the finance director or the deputy finance director on?
I don't see.
I don't see either. Anybody else from the public would like to speak? Anybody from the public would like to speak? And one more time, anybody from the public would like to speak? Okay, none heard. Let's go to agenda number 5. The presentation of Public Works and Sanitation budget request. And Mark, you said that we potentially can share that on the screen. Thank you. Ed, if you're on, the floor is yours.
Good evening. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir.
The Highway Department Public Works budget for fiscal year 2023-2024. I hope everyone has a copy in front of them to refer to. I'll ask you how you want to proceed. Would you like me to just go over each line or just read off the line items and answer any questions that you may have?
Yeah, similar to last year, we had line by line, and then we'll go from there.
Okay, if we can start with the 4100 Highway Department wages, the page 1 of 3 in the 4100 department. The first page includes the employee wages, starting with my wage, and then followed by the 13 employees. The employees are broken down into maintainer categories, maintainer 2, 3, 4, and 5. The number of employees per maintainer is indicated on there. There's 7 maintainer 2s, 2 maintainer 3s, 3 maintainer 4s, and 1 maintainer 5, who is the foreman. Those salary numbers in front of you include a 2% wage increase per union contract for this coming year.
Right.
Moving down to 4100, 110, 116, the summer, fall temporary help and the seasonal help. Those two lines include funds for part-time employees that we use in the summer to help with the grass cutting, field maintenance, leaf bag pickups and such. And then in the winter, usually those same employees will come back and help us with the snow and ice removal on city sidewalks and park areas. Moving down 120, 140, 100, 120. The overtime wages, the special storm overtime, and the picnic road. The overtime wages are the general staying late on any given day wages. If we need to get called in after hours for any type of work that needs to be done, emergency work that needs to be done, trees down, car accidents where we have to clean the road, things like that. The special storms overtime is for snow events during the winter season and also for rain and flooding events in the summer season. The picnic grove on Nutmeg Avenue that is rented during the summer season. We open and close the picnic grove and provide some cleaning services when we have more than one weekend event. We need to call people in on either a Saturday or a Sunday so that generally the second event, usually happening on a Sunday, will have a clean facility.
Hey, Ed, you want the questions while you're going through it, or you want it at the end?
I do that. You want me to just stop at the end of each page and you can
Yeah, I got a question with the picnic grove overtime. You have mentioned that is the people who rent the picnic grove area.
Yep.
That payment for the area, what does that go to?
The payment, I'm sorry, when they rent
yes.
The
grove? Correct.
The check goes to the city. I don't know where exactly it goes. I don't get the money.
Okay. No, I'm just curious. Do you have any estimate on what they make per year during the summer?
No, I don't. I'm sorry. I could look that up and give you an idea on it. I don't have a number. They rent. What happens is when someone wants to rent, we charge them a fee. Depending if they're a Derby resident or an out-of-town person, that fee for out-of-town is higher. I'm going to say it's $150 for the Derby resident and $250 for the out-of-town person. I'm not sure on those numbers, though. And then we charge an additional deposit in case there's any damage. If the facility is not damaged or there's no extensive cleanup necessary, we refund the deposit fee. But okay. I can check on the total numbers for you tomorrow. I'm sorry, don't have those numbers in front of me.
Yeah, that's okay. If you can get it emailed to us, and that'll really appreciate it.
Okay. Anything else for that first page?
Nope.
No, I'm good. All right. Yeah.
4100, page 2 of 3. Starting with the vehicle allowance, it's the allowance to me to use my personal vehicle for work purposes. The next item down is police services. When we hire, when we do road work, we always try to hire a Derby police officer to do traffic control at the site. Eversource is the gas service for the building at Coon Hollow Road. We pay our heating costs out of that line. Regional Water Authority is our water cost for the building on Coon Hollow, the pump station on Caroline Street, the fountain at the walkway over by BJ's, the fountain, and the city greens. Special storms, repair and maintenance costs. We try to keep costs associated with vehicle repairs as they relate to snowstorms separate from the normal everyday wear and tear, just so we have a better idea where the costs are being spent. So that's the line I would use for any snow plow repairs that need to be made during the winter season. Training and education. We have certain certifications that need to be kept up. We have our engineering company comes in a couple of times a year. We have MS4 requirements that the employees need to have training on. So that pays for that. The administrative supplies to run the office, copy paper, toner, et cetera. Garage maintenance. Supplies and tools, equipment for the garage. The motorized equipment maintenance, I know is large, but we have a lot of vehicle repairs. That's the normal everyday breakdown of vehicles, brakes, oil changes, any normal maintenance and breakdowns of our fleet.
And I have a question. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Jennifer.
I have a question on that. I understand that one of the brand new trucks ran out of oil and the motor blew up. Is that in there?
Not true.
Not true what? It's not in there, or the motor didn't?
The motor did not blow up. It had a bad turbo, which is the power boost section of the engine. The vehicle is presently out at a Ford dealership in Brantford. It's being repaired under warranty with no cost to the city.
Great.
They're waiting for a part, the catalytic converter, that was also damaged because the, I don't know how familiar you are with the engine, but the diesel engine produced oil into the catalytic converter because the power booster turbo was faulty. So we had to they had to replace not only the turbo, but the catalytic converter there that's still on order. The cost was covered under warranty. There absolutely no cost to the city.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And Ed, the question I had, does that include all the dozers and backhoes, if you have any, on the heavy equipment?
The motorized equipment, any of the repairs? Yes, for the most part, we do have a separate line for our very elderly street sweeper. I don't think there's anything other specific, but that motorized equipment is pretty much used for anything that's in need of repair.
Under your jurisdiction, do you have any backhoes or dozers, heavy equipment?
Yes, we have one excavator and okay. two loaders.
All right, so that's included into the motorized equipment maintenance, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right, awesome. Thank you.
Moving down, tires, vehicle tires. Next, Picnic Grove, the maintenance of the building, the building up on Nutmeg. We sometimes do roofing repairs. The building is equipped with water. There's toilets, general upkeep, gutters. We just did gutters and downspouts on the building last year. We paint when we have to up there. The concrete counters up there need to be painted. That's the line. Clothing allowance. The union receives, or the employees receive, coats, jackets, t-shirts, and sweatshirts yearly. With the yellow ones that you see them wearing, so that is covered under there. General supplies, hand tools, shovels, rakes, and so on. The street marking line item is for painting crosswalks, handicap spaces, fire lanes. All around the schools, we do the painting yearly. We need to keep the, we have two sprayers, two paint applicators that need upkeep, paint that we need to buy. Any questions on, any other questions on that page?
Ed, I have one, but well, neither one of us are going to have the answer now, because you're going to get me the answer with the renting of the Picnic Grove area regarding, okay, you know, what was made and comparison, and trying to compare it with,
yep,
the line item 4100-340-0342 regarding the maintenance and building repairs. Because if whatever we make renting it should go back to the maintaining it. But that's a question that we'll talk about later.
Okay. All right. Page 3 of 4100 is street signs. Street signs are the city street signs, stop signs, traffic control signs. Whenever signs are damaged or new signs need to be replaced as they age, it comes out of that budget. Trees and planting. We have two employees now who are trained in tree removal, but we don't have the equipment to do a lot of the bigger tree work that we need done. We don't have a boom truck. We have a very small truck that we use when we can, but most of the bigger trees that have to be either removed or trimmed have to go out to private contractors. So any of the work, and we do have a lot of trees that become or are within our jurisdiction that are between that 10 foot right of way from the curb. Unfortunately, there's a lot of older trees in that area that when they become old and diseased need to be removed. Sidewalks become an issue because of those trees. They become raised and the sidewalk needs to be replaced. We need to take the tree down. So that line item is used for that. Sidewalk repairs and reimbursements. It's either when we have to repair a sidewalk that was damaged because, as I was just saying about the trees, that has uplifted. If the sidewalk was damaged due to a city tree, we become responsible for the replacement of the sidewalk. The reimbursement comes into effect when people, city residents, decide that they wish to repair or replace the sidewalk in front of their residence, which is, other than the tree issue, the responsibility of the homeowner. The city reimburses the property owner at a rate of $3 per square foot of the sidewalk work. Regardless of what they pay, we pay a reimbursement of $3 a square foot. They supply us with a receipt from the contractor. We submit that with their request. It's approved by the Board of Aldermen, Alderwoman, and then is forwarded to the finance department. But as I said, it's regardless of what they paid for the repair, we pay $3 a square foot. Stormwater projects, flood control type of issues with catch basins. We have in the past done several repairs after road cave-ins when stormwater piping under the road becomes old and damaged and breaks and causes damage to the road. Road repairs, just paving when we have to fix a large section or a larger than a pothole type repairs. With old utility work that we can't locate the utility that years ago did the work, we may have to repair a section of roadway. Street sweeper, as I said, the sweeper is basically out of service. We could bring it back into service if we absolutely need to get something done, but it's really beyond repair. I was hoping to get a new one, but I think the cost is going to be prohibitive to replacing it. So we're looking at other options to get the streets swept, hopefully this spring. The town aid line item is town aid roads money issued by the state of Connecticut based on the road mileage size of each particular town. I'm not 100% sure on all the criteria they use, but that dollar amount is what was issued last year. I'm going to assume that it's going to be about the same this coming year, but we don't know that until July 1st. They issue the money twice a year, once in July and once in January of, would be January of 24.
Ed, we pay that out or they pay us? You're saying we issue. We pay
the state issues us that money.
Okay, so it's not an expense.
It's not an expense, but it is, it's part of my operating budget. So okay. I was always asked to include it in there. So we have an idea what we have. But it is not an expense. It's money that is provided us by the state.
Okay.
The winter salt and sand. We're not buying a lot of sand anymore. We're mostly with salt application. I think it works better. It's cleaner, and given the street sweeper situation, it does save us quite a bit of time and work in the spring. Salt really doesn't have to be swept as the sand does. Drug and alcohol testing, that's CDL requirements, state of Connecticut licensing requirements, random. All our employees are subject to random drug and alcohol testing. We have a contract with a company that comes in periodically with a list of random people, and we bring them in the morning and drug and alcohol test them. Lighting repairs, sidewalk lighting. The lights on the green repaired quite often. The lights in my building, the lights on Main Street, not so much now with the state project. We're not doing a lot of work with those, but any of the lighting on Elizabeth Street along the green, the fountain over on by BJ's along the walkway sometimes needs work and things like that. But that's where the electrical repairs are done. The Riverwalk maintenance is just general maintenance. We replace trash pails. We replace rails that are broken or older. I know there's a lot of rails that are in need of repair on the on the Main Street side of the walkway, and we're hoping to get that done soon. Also under that Riverwalk maintenance is the porta potty that's on over by the Route 8 entrance to the Riverwalk. Any questions on any of that?
I have one, Ed, on the wages. I noticed we don't have a dispatcher on there. Do we have a dispatcher?
No, not presently.
Are we going to have one?
I hope so.
So shouldn't we add that in the budget?
Well, I was.
If I may interrupt first, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, we have to petition through the alders for the position, because there's not one that's there existing right now, correct, Ed?
Well, they always had a dispatcher.
When we negotiated the last contract, the employee who was doing that job retired, and we negotiated a contract saying that position, the dispatcher position, would now be filled with a clerk from the City Hall Union.
A clerk?
A clerk position from the City Hall Union. So the position salary is no longer something that is included in my budget. That should be budgeted by the City Hall contract. In other words, we felt, and I felt at the time of negotiations, that it was better to have someone there as a clerk typist, or whatever term you want to use, rather than have a public works employee that I could better use on the road, so that we would fill that position as someone who would answer the phone, do paperwork, do schedules, be there for people who come to the public works building if I'm not there. So the position is no longer a public works position. It's now a City Hall position, a City Hall employee position.
So they're going to take somebody out of the City Hall and...
Well, I don't know if they're going to physically take someone, but if they could either take someone or they could hire someone and pay them out of the City Hall budget as a clerk, which is considerably less money than I would have to pay a maintainer two or three or four to sit in that chair. The functions could still be provided. The phones would still get answered. The messages would still be taken. The day-to-day operations would still go on. Who's doing it now?
Is there somebody?
I am.
You are?
Yes, ma'am.
You're getting old when they call you ma'am. Oh. Are we going to hire somebody to fill it? I mean, do you hire somebody to fill it? Is it somebody that needs to kind of know a little bit about construction to?
No, not really. Not really. They need to take a message. If they can answer the question, what time is the dump open? Is it trash today or tomorrow? Where do I get a recycling bin? How do I register to rent the picnic room? All those are just questions that anyone can answer. Once they're instructed, anyone can answer those questions. No one calls there asking how to repair a catch basin. Right? I don't need that qualified person who could be better used on the road doing the work, sitting there and answering the phone.
Yeah, well, nobody's saying it has to be one of the maintainer positions, but I would think that, you know, some type of dispatcher there, whether they call it a clerk or whatever, would go through you. I can't see City Hall paying for that when it's going to be down public works. I just don't want to get hit with a surprise later on that, oh, we're going to add the position now, and now we need another salary. That's why I'm questioning it.
Okay. To be honest with you, ma'am, I need someone to sit there. I wish I had somebody sitting there. I put it in my budget, or they can put it in theirs. I particularly don't care.
Well, have we actually put out for anybody? I mean, is it in the works?
I don't know.
Obviously, if you're saying you don't want to spend the maintainer salary, you make more than the maintainers. So we're paying you to do that job.
Yes, you are.
Am I thinking crooked here?
No, what it is, if I may come in, the monies are not coming from your budget right now, currently, and anything in the future that may come down will be coming out of the City Hall budget. Nothing that we have to worry about now, because it's going to be coming from City Hall, not from Public Works.
That was my understanding when it was negotiated. That was my understanding. Yes, sir.
Well, but if I may, Mr. Chair, just to clarify,
I think the what it is that the position moved from the Public Works Union to the City Hall Union, thereby making it a different type of position, less on the road and more in the office. Which budget it would come out of? It's put, I mean, I, you know, that's a for something for you guys to decide. But it wasn't that it was which budget it was going to come out of. It was which, where would the position was moved from the Public Works bargaining unit to the City Hall bargaining unit.
Yes, that is correct, Mark. Thank you.
Now, who requests it and who's in which budget and where the person would be seated or situated is a situation. I mean, is a separate issue. I mean, if the department head is asking for it, then I guess you heard his request, right?
Well, it makes sense because we're paying him an awful lot more than we would be paying a clerk.
Correct.
And just for terminology point, I believe the terminology was assistant level. It was more administrative assistant, not just clerk. So I don't know that a job description was ever developed or anything like that, but I don't know. That's not a question that I can answer.
Ed, if you don't mind keeping us in the loop during this season, if anything changes that it's coming out of your budget, we can make sure to negotiate and discuss how we're going to come up with that salary, if it's going to come out of your public works budget.
If in fact it does, or the request is made to me, then I'll make you aware of it.
Thank you. And I have one question regarding the 4100 460 0460 town aid. Is that a guesstimate of what was provided last year, correct? 264,819?
That was the figure from last year, yes, sir.
Okay. And that is a reimbursement based on the work that was already done that we can now say that if we spend it, that's what the state will reimburse. For town aid?
Well, it's money that is supplied in two payments by the state to the municipality. How physically it happens, I'm not really too sure.
And the reason why we're putting it on there is because that's what was received from the state last year, but we're not 100% sure that that'll be the amount this year. Something that's carried over?
It's the dollar amount from last fiscal year.
Okay. All right. No, thank you for the education.
Okay. Anybody? Just one more question on this administrative position. Ed, did they ask you to do anything to get it ready to, you know, regarding it? I mean, did you have to put up a job description?
That wasn't discussed with me, no.
So they didn't ask you to do anything about filling that position. They're going to handle everything and just give you what they give you?
Initially, when it was negotiated, I thought the position was going to be filled. It wasn't. I asked and it was not filled. That's about all I know.
So this was last year's budget? Because I think the dispatcher's been gone for a while, right?
Well, when the past employee retired, that's when the issue arose. Normally, if it wasn't for this negotiations with the union, removing it from our union to the City Hall union, we would just simply put an employee, a maintainer, and it would be by seniority, so it would probably be a senior person would be sitting there answering the phones. That's why the thought process was to have a clerk, administrative assistant, whatever you want to call them, sit there and conduct that business that was always done by a maintainer.
No, that's a very good idea, but I'm just wondering how long it'd be. When did that person retire? It's been a couple of years, right? I guess I'm just trying to figure out. I mean, you think this should be a position that should be filled, correct? I mean, you need the help.
It's a position that I wish was filled. Yes, ma'am.
So how long have you been doing the dispatch?
Well, since that last employee retired, I'm going to say, and again, I don't remember exactly when. I think it was a year. Mark, can you answer that question?
It was after July 1st, because it was since in this budget.
Yes.
So it
maybe
was
maybe 6 months, maybe.
Well, probably more than six, probably. Yeah. Probably 6-7 months. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. We got to push on them to get you somebody.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Ed, correct me if I'm wrong. You're doing extra work as a dispatcher, which is same salary. So of course we want to pay somebody to do that position, but also at a clerk level, not at a level that you're at. But like that overall, everybody is budget can be saved instead of paying a higher person to do a lower person wage work.
Yes, I agree. That was part of the premise behind the whole change.
Okay. All right. That's something that can be discussed during our review of the budget and talking to the people to be. So that's, am I correct? $1,796,824.87.
That is correct. Yes.
Okay. Any final comments, anybody, before Mr. Armento can finish his presentation here?
No, I'm good so far. That was just my questions.
Thank you, Mr. Armento.
Okay, can we go next to 4300 sanitation?
Ah, yeah.
Yep.
All right, 4300 sanitation. The first line item is the Pine Street Transfer Station Aquarian Water. That's the water bill that we pay monthly for the water service at the transfer station. The well monitoring is a state DEEP requirement to monitor the condition of the groundwater from the previous landfill. That's done several times a year. Personnel from the company WSP, who we contract with, sends personnel. They monitor five wells, test wells that are on the site, gives them a reading of groundwater and contaminant conditions that may or may not be leaching from the landfill. That's, as I said, a DEEP requirement. The refuse collection, I have a asterisk by that and the transfer station operation. The current contract with City Carting expires at the end of this fiscal year, June 30th. So the number there is the cost that we paid for the 22-23 fiscal year. I don't know. I know negotiations have started with City Carding to or negotiations are started to see who the contractor is going to be, whether it's City Carding or somebody else, but that cost is our cost from this current year. And that includes the refuse that's picked up and the recycling that's picked up. They separate the refuse and recycling, and then if you go down to 30, 35, the transfer station, the operation of the transfer station, we pay City Carding to operate the transfer station. So I'm sure there'll be questions about those two, but I'll just get everything else done, then we can talk about that if you want. The wood chipper maintenance, we do have a wood chipper that we use. It's just a few dollars that I try to set aside that we can keep that maintained. The weigh scale at the transfer station needs state certification yearly. They send people down and check the accuracy of the scale and any repairs that need to be done. Yale Pest is the transfer station vermin control. They go there monthly and do whatever they do, traps and pesticides, I'm assuming. State DEP charges a yearly operating permit fee. That's the 380-384. 390, 391 is the recycling bins that we supply, the red recycling bins we supply to city residents. We purchase those, not sure where we purchase them, local company, I believe, and we have those on hand. Landfill cap, the past landfill is now obviously capped. There's sometimes maintenance needing to be done to maintain the integrity of the property down there. Soil sometimes brought in, not often, but sometimes we need to do that. The regional hazardous waste collection, four times a year, the COG, NV COG, runs hazardous waste disposal days. We are part of the 12 or 13 towns and cities who share the cost of the company that comes in and disposes of the hazardous waste. The residents are advised of the day and location. They bring their oil-based paints, their batteries, their hazardous chemicals from the house, and are brought to this disposal site, and the company that NBCOG contracts with takes care of the waste. We pay a standard fee. I want to say it's $450, I believe, but don't quote me on the number. And then we pay a cost based on how many Derby residents take part in the disposal. Each time they run a disposal or a hazardous waste, we send an employee, a public works employee. Each town that participates sends one employee. And I don't know if anybody's ever been through it, but they form a line basically as the people come in, and they take licenses and make note of what city the people are coming from, and also note what materials they're bringing, so that the company who is disposing of the hazardous waste knows pretty much what cities are being charged for what waste. So that's how that's calculated. We've always been within budget on that. We don't produce an extraordinary lot of hazardous waste. And that's it for 4,300.
A question that I have, Ed, regarding that regional hazardous waste collection, those 6,550, that is based on, like you said, depending on the amount of people in the city of Derby that will participate in this. So it's either a plus or minus on the 6,550. Have you ever been anywhere above that 6,550 at any time?
I've never run above the 6,550. Okay. If you want, I could check tomorrow what my current budget is and how much we spent this year. I'm sorry, I don't have that in front of me.
Okay, because that was a good observation you have explained just now with regard to the amount of people that will come, that will be the depending on the amount of money that we have to pay.
Yes, like I said, they make note of who's coming from where. And generally, when we go, there's 13 towns. Sometimes they go up. I think Wolcott takes part in this. So sometimes the people have to go to, you know, a distance, and they generally don't. We don't have a day in Derby because we don't have a facility set up well enough. We use Ansonia. So whenever it comes to this area, it's held at the Ansonia Public Works. So, you know, obviously you'll get more Derby residents when they go to Ansonia and less when they go further away.
Thank you. Nobody got any questions? You got other presentation to do, Ed?
I have just two left, very short. 8,300 is the citywide fuel. It's budgeted for $150,000. That's the fuel for all city vehicles, both unleaded and diesel. I've never gone over the 150. My average for the last 4 months is about $12,000 a month, which would keep us, if it continues, it will keep us under the budget. And what happens with fuel costs next year, I don't know. I'm just looking at what's going on. I think they're going to probably stabilize basically where they are, hopefully a little bit lower.
And we still get that from Shelton, right?
We're presently using the tanks in Shelton, okay. Shelton Public Works, and Shelton PD.
Okay. That's it for me.
Okay. The last budget is 6,400 flood control, two lines in there. The maintenance for the pump station on Caroline Street, that's the flood control pump station that would be utilized in the event of a flood. We need to keep it operational. Fuel cost is only a furnace in there for the wintertime to heat the building. And there's alarms there warning us for, any pump necessities or problems. The maintenance of the slopes are the levees, the dikes, the grass side, or both sides actually, but mostly what we do is the grass side of the levee. We need to cut the grass any of the areas adjacent to the levees, along the BJ's Road, if you're familiar, that whole area all the way down until the property that was just sold, but we need to maintain all that. And that covers the repair and the maintenance of the equipment that we use. We have a specialized mower that could actually operate on that steep grass slope that needs to be maintained. So the funds come out of that line. And if you wanted me to, that $6,400 was $9,500. The citywide fuel was $150,000. And the sanitation was $1,337,191.28. But as I said, the carting, the refuse collection, and the transfer station operation, those numbers are this year's cost.
I have one. Yeah, I thank you very much, Ed. Appreciate your presentation of your department. Mark, I think you took it down a little too fast with respect to the last part of the maintenance, 6,400. 330-0331 on the maintenance of the equipment and the slopes that you were talking about.
Yes.
It was 7,000 and then there was, I think, 2,500.
2,500 for the supplies. I called it supplies, the alarms and the fuel costs and just the general upkeep. We do maintenance inside the pump station to keep it. To keep it up to shape.
The only question I had, because they both of those line items had the same number, or they're supposed to have two separate numbers?
Oh, I'm sorry. I just noticed that. I'm going to say one is 331 and one is 332, but again, I'm sorry. I'm home. I don't have it in front of me. I'll have to check that again tomorrow.
No, but those are two separate line items, correct?
Yes, sorry, two separate line items.
Okay. Yeah, because I was looking at it and I said same number, there should be the same line, but they're not. Sorry.
I mean the 9,500 is the 6,400 cost. So one of them is numbered incorrectly.
Okay. No, I appreciate the clarity. Thank you, Mark, for bringing it back up.
I have one quick question, Chris, here. Ed, I don't think this is a question for you, but I just want to know if you could answer it. We had switched $15,000 out of your budget into the dump money, the transfer station. Is there any reason why it wouldn't be right on the money when we pay them once or twice or three or four times a year that we do? You know how we pay the dump their fee of $1.1 million?
The city carding payments?
Yes.
I transferred that money back at the beginning of the year. Is that the transfer you're referring to?
No, about 2 months ago we transferred. We were asked to transfer another $15,000 out of one of your line items up to the dump. And I was just wondering, because they couldn't really answer me at the time of why. I believe they said that it was an error in finance or something, as to why they needed more money to bring up there.
Back in the beginning of this current fiscal year, I made the mistake of, when I quoted the cost, looked at the wrong line. I looked at the wrong budget year in their contract.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So I had to add additional money to both accounts, to the trash recycling and to the transfer station. But that number is accurate. But that was my fault. When I was doing the budget last year, I looked at the wrong budget year in the contract.
I see. Okay. Thank you very much.
Mr. Armino, this is Mike Grava. Just a couple of quick questions for you, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
Not having last year's budget in front of me, your overall budget that you just presented, and thank you very much for presenting that, is there an increase as compared to last year's budget?
No. The increase would be the 2% wage increase.
So it's just contractual obligations.
It's the 2% contractual wage increase. Yes, sir.
Those are the only increases you have in your budget?
Yes, they are. They're the same numbers from the previous year.
Okay. And I'm thinking probably the only other line item or two that will probably have a significant impact on your budget will be both the carting of the refuse and recycling and then the transfer station. You had mentioned it's being negotiated with City Carting. Is it only being negotiated with them or is it out to bid?
No, I didn't mean it to sound that way. The contract is up on the 30th. The city is going to need to negotiate or go out to bid, whatever they choose to do. Now, if City Carting were to come back and say, we'll do it for the same price, we would be okay. But I don't know that that's going to happen.
Now, again, my understanding of this is not the greatest. So forgive me for lingering on this. But the transfer station, I know City Carting runs that. If they were to put this out to bid and, you know, All American took over, do they take over the transfer station or is that something that City Carting has a hold on?
I would guess that their hold is by contract. Once their contract, because they're under contract for refuse and recycling and the operation of the transfer station, once the contract is expired, they have no hold down on either one of the functions.
So those are both combined in one contract. Those aren't two separate contracts.
There's one combined contract. They break down the cost of recycling and trash, and then a separate line in the contract talks about the operation of the transfer station.
Okay. That's what I was looking for. I didn't realize they were all in the same contract. All right. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Anybody else has any further questions for Mr. Armino?
Right now, I'm good.
Hearing none, thank you, Mr. Armino, for your presentation and the education of your department.
Thank you, sir.
Mark, can you pop up that agenda again? Thank you. Boy, you're ahead of the game. You're good. item number four, review of the 2022-2023 actual and 2023-2024 proposed expense budget requests and revenue. I'll be honest, I am utilizing Ms. Jennifer DeRoche with assisting me with the budgets that have been given to us by the department heads in comparison to last year's and this year's revenues and expenses. All it's going to be put together, and then we're all going to get an overview of the budget that we had from last year to this year. I know Mike Gray, that was a good point. We're going to try to see and maintain, what's going to be from last year's budget to this year's budgets. Before I get to number seven and the next steps, I do apologize at the last minute through my discussions today with the deputy finance person with respect to obtaining the budgets from the department heads to the mayor. And I think you guys already know my my push to obliging by the charter with respect to on or before February 1st. They have all the budgets. I'm going to be discussing further with the mayor's office and trying to receive the information so we can do what we just done today, get a better overview. Because again, I hope you guys and girls and ladies that I'm not a person about, you know, them against us. I'm more of interest with how we can, you know, better the people of Derby and tax work that they voted us to do together. So I want to follow the charter and also try to get the administration to follow the charter. It seems like I'm running into a barrier, but that's my call. And I'll deal with the Mayhew administration to try to get this information before the March 7th presentation. Because as you can see, it's a whole month that we don't have to review the stuff, which I would not like to make decisions on the mayor's budget presentation because we don't have that information. And it'll be nice to have the information ahead of time so conscientiously we can make decisions and, you know, see how we can go in a direction that the information is being provided to us. So that's the next step, is that next week is Valentine's Day to talk about the agenda number seven. So we're not going to meet on the 14th. The 21st, we're going to do the same thing now. Hopefully, I'm going to be talking with Jennifer LaRoche to see if she needs any further assistance from me so we can put our heads together, get these sheets and the numbers that the department heads already provided to us, which I believe is about half of the people that are sending their budget to City Hall, but not to us. Some of them have sent it to us and City Hall. And we're going to put these worksheets together and then see what we can do about reviewing them for the 21st, 28th. Because this is all just a review to be ahead of the game with respect to, okay, this is what we know about the budget. This is the mayor's budget presentation. Now we can put one and one together and come up with a solution how not to raise taxes or keep the taxes where they're at for the city of Derby. I wanted to see if I can get some feedback from anybody, if this is a direction that the boat wants to go with, or, you know, I be honest, I set up a meeting with the mayor. He canceled. I called again to try to set up a meeting with him, and he hasn't gotten back to me. I am trying to not make any, you know, insinuations with respect to, you know, it's not them against us. I just want to do what's of best interest for the city. And again, it's like jumping hoops, pulling teeth, and barriers are being put in front of me, and I'm going to say in front of us as the boat to actually do the job that we were voted to do. Nonetheless, we are going to keep going forward and go with the information we have and make conscientious decisions once the mayor's budget is presented. Any feedback, thoughts, or direction that we should go with the boat, please. I'm open to suggestions and comments or feedback.
I agree with you, Roberto. We just have to keep going forward. I mean, we're not doing any of the taxpayers any due diligence if we just last minute get it crammed down our throat and then have Walt telling us how the state's going to look badly upon us if we vote to give more to the school or do anything else. I don't want to have that happen again.
Well, for you boat members, that still is an open discussion regarding a state monitoring the finances. That's a last year's topic. I'm not quite sure where it's at right now. However, again, moving forward with what is the best interest for the monies that these departments are asking of us to review for its accuracy and how to make the decision with the mayor in knowing what we're getting ourselves into, it'll be nice to have the information before. I'll still keep fighting on behalf of boat and the charter so that we can get that information. And as you guys will see on the emails that I forward to you guys, apologize again, because I just got a response late this afternoon and I forwarded to everybody. So everybody, you know, can be on the same boat point of view to review the information that's being passed to me, and I want to pass it to you guys.
I think we also need to have our deputy finance director or our finance director, whoever it is, I mean, with us, no?
I agree.
Roberta, I just wanted to say, you know, I appreciate you taking on the role of chairperson for this board, because it's not an enviable position. It's a lot of work, and do appreciate you taking this on and, you know, directing this process this year. And, you know, hopefully it doesn't end up being another round of what we experienced last year, where, you know, we don't have any guidance from the finance office. And, you know, I hope there's more communication across everybody, because it's really hard to put together a budget for a city when, you know, there's not open and honest dialogue. And, you know, doing this for my profession, it's a bit frustrating to see that in the last couple of years it's just become more difficult to actually put together a fiscally responsible budget that not only, you know, stabilizes taxes and you know, it is responsible for all taxpayers, but moves the city forward. It's you know, as we're sitting here listening to Mr. Armino present his budget, I'm thinking in my head, you know, our gasoline is outside of our town. Our hazardous waste is outside of our town. You know, it seems like we're farming more and more out. You know, we're not funding education completely. We've flatlined them the last couple of years, 3 years in a row, actually. Just seems like we're at the sake of moving our town forward, we're just telling taxpayers, yep, we're reducing taxes or they're zero, quite frankly. And again, I'm only speaking for myself, and I know there are a lot of people out there going through hard times right now, but you know, if there was a modest increase, I would be willing to pay it only to move our town forward. I just feel like we're not keeping up with everyone around us. And I don't mean to keep going on and on, but again, the position you've taken on is very, you know, a difficult position, I think, because there's not a lot of help. And, you know, I think last year, I don't know that this is going to be a popular statement, but I think last year a budget was presented and pretty much we were told this is the budget to go with. So, you know, not sure what our role is really going to be this year, but I do appreciate you taking on the position of chairperson.
Thank you. I'm a person, I don't know if I shared with everybody, this is my 35th year with the federal government at the VA. And I've been through many presidents and bureaucracies, but understanding that an official way of doing things, I'm a rules, regulation, guidelines person that, yes, you're correct. It's a position that I said yes to, and I'm going to try my best to help us navigate that system of bureaucracy. But what I don't want is, even though it is political, but I don't want it to be that way. I wanting to move the city forward in a direction that everybody can make decisions like we did finally last year, after the fact that we had time to look at the information. And I'm going to keep fighting for, you know, board so that we can have what we need. And also, I want to make a comment with respect to the full-time employee in support of our board, as is part of the charter, is the town clerk as our administrator through and with the city. And this is one issue I was wanting to introduce to the administration with respect to making that person, the town clerk, Mark, inclusive with all communications so that everything is officially documented, proceeded in the right way, agenda, and the right path. So everybody has a say on the agenda, not just in one direction. And it just seems like, again, thank you, Mike, for saying that it is going to be somewhat a slight uphill battle, as no disrespect to Jeff. He was an awesome board chair, but the position and status of his political position that he was in, they wanted me to work the same way and just oblige by that. And since I refuse to do that, they're being, you know, playing hardball. So I'm trying to be the good upper person, knowing that I have patience to negotiate, discuss, analyze, and try to get to the bottom of how we can get this budget easily for us presented and then negotiated with the mayor's budget presentation and what's the best interest for the people of Derby. So yeah, I hope all of us, and I'm going to continue and appreciate all the feedback I get so like that we can maintain the transparency of all my communications with the administration and back to us. Again, I admit it to Jennifer, I'll admit it to you guys, Excel and Jeff's wonderful numbers, putting it together. I'm not that expertise on that presentation, but I'm getting a good support from Jen, who said, yeah, I'll take it up. This is something I like to do, and it just takes time. And we want to present it well so that we can look at it like laymen, as we are. We're lay people. Some of us have the experience and some of us don't. This is only the second year that we're doing this for most of people who are new. But I think we're, as long as we as a board members, you know, be on the same page. And that's what I would like to see. So like that, the betterment of the city residents are what we're here to do.
And Mr. Chair, it's Mark R. Fallon, Town Clerk. I'm thank you again, all of you, for your volunteer service to the city. And I stand ready to assist and help you pursuant to the charter and pursuant to what is my moral obligation as a public official here in the city. So whatever I can do to help smooth the process, I'm happy to do that.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
I know this is out of order, but I thank you too.
Thank you, Karen. Any other feedback, comments, thoughts? If not, anybody make a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I motion to adjourn.
With a second?
I'll second. It's Mike.
Thank you, Mike. So it's now 7:20 p.m. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much, guys. Happy Valentine's Day, ladies and men. Have a good evening.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care, folks. Stay safe.